Yes, friends, this is tape number 7. I've been in prayer for the last several hours before making this tape number 7. The time now is about 1 a.m. in the morning, Panama City time. I've held this message since yesterday at 10:30 in my heart and soul, coming to you in the Spirit of the Living God. I want to call this, Heaven Has Made Himself Ready. Is the wife ready to meet the bride, to meet the bridegroom? First of all, I'd like to go back to my early days with my grandfather, who was a great influence over my life. Age, as I told you, almost 7. Angel of the Lord came into my room. My angel came into the room to talk to me as a frightened child. Then again at 14 years old, the angel of the Lord met me while I was taking a load of hay up the hill with a team of horses, and old Bonnie was in front. And during this time of this week that we were having prayer in my grandfather's house, many would gather for the prayer meetings during that time because he was a great man of God, great influence over my life. He had pastored a church in a place called Chalton on Upmore. There was only 700 residents in that church. He had everyone in his church except the old drunkard. And he said, I'm going to get him before I die. And he did. I remember as a young boy, seeing that drunkard walk down the middle of the aisle, fall before the altar, and accept Jesus as Savior. And my father stood up in the pulpit and said, my work is done. It was only just several years that he went to be with Jesus. My oldest sister took care of him in his last days after Grandma had gone to be with Jesus in heaven. What a great influence my grandfather was in my life. In 1930, I was ready to go to the mission field and on my way to South America. And I got a message from my sister, who wrote me a lovely letter about my grandfather's death, because my oldest sister was with him. She used to fix his bacon and eggs in the morning, every morning, and up the little stairway into the place in the room where he lived was a life of consecration. He had left his big farm. He had one of the greatest farms there was. I got pictures of it. He was the first man to breed the blue calf. He was a cattle breeder and also a minister of the gospel. He pastored 2 churches. And I remember he came to the Iron Gate. And the Iron Gate was electric storm caused the lightning to conduct into that water and that gate. And when it did, he was touching the gate, and I was sitting in the horse and buggy waiting. It was pouring in rain. And that lightning hit that gate, and he looked up in the air and said, praise the Lord, thank you, God. Nothing would move the old gentleman, no way. There was 2 boys came up behind him one time and let both barrels go behind him in the air to try to make the old gentleman jump. But he didn't. He just turned around and said, you bad boys, you need Jesus. That's how solid he was. He's one of the most solid men that I ever met. Nothing disturbed him whatsoever. He had perfect peace with Jesus. It's a great, great time. And at 1930, he passed away to be with Jesus. He lived very old. My sister was taking care of him every morning. He'd get up real early at 5 o'clock on the dot to eat his breakfast because he was a farmer. And about 4:45, my sister would call up to the bedroom, Grandpa, your breakfast is ready. But there was no answer that morning, no answer. She knew what had happened because he had told her several days before, I'll be leaving for heaven just a few hours. And she knew what would happen. But she had the bacon and eggs cooked anyway. She walked quietly up the stairs and called over the banister into his room. And there he was, laying on his bed, did not even wet the bed. He was laying there on his back. And the comb was halfway down his long beard. And to his left was the Bible laying on the bed. And it was turned to the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he went to be with Jesus in that fashion. My sister went downstairs and got on her knees and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My grandfather's gone to be with you, Jesus. She had a vision in the room of angels coming in the room. And she opened the window. When she opened the window, exactly the same thing as that for me. 12 doves come flying through the whole house, through every room, all the way through the whole house. This is an actual record, and out they went. And that was a wonderful reality. And she said she could just feel his soul leaving that room. My older sister went to be with Jesus, too. She lays there in the grave right alongside of the church because her husband was one of the leaders of the church, and her son, my nephew, rang the church bells. That was the atmosphere and the way my sister lived. She lived a godly life, and she lived all of her life for others. Never once did she ever think of herself. She was always doing something for others. Never in her own life, her whole life, did she ever think of herself, because she gave her life for others. She was always there to help, to go into homes and help the sick and afflicted, and help in any way she could, because she said, my life is not for myself, it is for others. Her mother had taught her that. My mother had taught her that very thing, to give the life for others, because that was the life of my grandmother, to give her whole life for others. I have her prayer book written in my book of the way my grandfather, my grandmother, and my grandfather lived. This was a great influence on my life. And so then, of course, seeing Angel at the age of almost 5 years old, and then again 14, we went under the pear tree together to where the ripe pears was with my grandfather. And I told him, grandfather, I saw an angel. He said, did you, my boy? God bless you. He said, now you're no longer under my jurisdiction. You're under the jurisdiction of God, the Father, because he's going to direct you what to do in your life. And little did I know that I would ever, at that time, go to heaven myself. Praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God, it's so wonderful. Praise his holy name. God is so real. You know, it makes me choke when I think of the wonderful things that happened in my boyhood, how the influence of my mother and my father and my grandfather. My father used to take the old family Bible every day, and he had a seat there, and he'd gather the little brood around and read the Word of God to us every day. He never missed a day to read it to us, never. My grandfather used to come over to our house, and they would pray together. This is my family. They would pray together. It was always an atmosphere of prayer. There was no such thing as anything worldly was allowed around us in any way, shape, or form. No way. Because it was a godly atmosphere and a real godly raising. And I didn't know anything about the way the devil would work in those days. All I thought was, everything is heaven. My mother was an artist, and she made postcards. I've got them of angels and mailed them to others because she wanted to be an influence over the life of others. That and my sister and my mother and my family, my brother was also a godly man. Praise the name of our Lord. One day my brother felt a burden of prayer, and I'll never forget it. That was after mother had gone to be with Jesus, and he came in the room, fell flat on his face, and he said, I've got to pray. And he would pray. My brother would pray and seek God. And in a way, and that was the atmosphere, and he was a great influence, and he put his arms around me many times and said, Percy, you have to leave, don't you? God makes you leave, but I'm going to say goodbye. And he cried. And the parting was terrible, because the thing is, we were so close together. My brother and I would play tennis together and go together, and we were glued together, just so glued together in love. There was no way. And he said, if we don't meet again on this earth, Percy, we'll meet together in heaven. That's the way I left home. And I know that God was real in my life. I want to tell you this. But then, little did I know that I would go into heaven. My life sometimes was a life of controversy, not in my own life, with others. Many people would wonder what I was doing. They couldn't understand me. You know, the world can't understand the child or the woman of God. No way. Because we're a peculiar people. We act peculiar. We live peculiar. And we live a life set aside from all of the things of this world. And many times Jesus would speak to me. I remember when I was in Shanghai, China. I was all over the world. Yes, all over the world before I went to the mission field. Because as a student, I went everywhere seeking an education. I did not get a silver spoon stuck in my mouth for my education. It was different. I remember buying rye bread at 3 cents a loaf in order to eat what I was preparing myself to be a missionary. Many times had no food, but I would many times go. One day I remember 3 days without food while I was studying, but God taught me how to live without this world's goods and so forth. So this happened to me many times. I remember one time I was in San Francisco as a young boy. No food, no nothing. That's the way I was. But I went to the church that Sunday morning because God was putting me through this test to be a real ministry, to learn to go without. And I went up to this church, Brother Craig's, I'll never forget it, way up on the top of the hill in San Francisco, walked in that day. And Amy McPherson was in there at that time, and she'd just come back from China somewhere. And she had this old Model T that she was going to Los Angeles in, and ran down. And somebody said, her tires are bursting out. And so God used us to go and get new tires to put on her car. But I hadn't eaten. But a man handed me, this is true, a man handed me $20, and that was a lot of money. Instead of eating, I helped buy Amos tires, and I fasted for 1 week. Oh, I can tell you, time after time after time, how, praise God, God prepared me to be a man that could suffer the heartaches, endure hardness as a good soldier. And I learned that very, very much in my young days. But I remember the day when Johnny McConnell was preaching, God bless his sweetheart. Johnny McConnell was a great Texas preacher, and he preached that day who was on the Lord's side, as told in the previous tape. This is when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance. In 1921, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there were several in that meeting there that had been seeking the baptism for several weeks. And I remember that big ball of fire. This is the way I received the baptism. Looking up, and there was a man, the name of Sullivan, who was a missionary to Africa on one side and an Indian woman on the other, praying with me when I was receiving the baptism. Oh, it was in the sawdust, and I'd got down in the sawdust. I really wanted an infilling of heaven of the Holy Ghost. I really wanted, that was my desire. And I was looking up, never forgetting, I saw a great, big, powerful light like fire. And this fire was coming down, and it was just fire. That was fire. He baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and the fire was coming down. As that fire was coming down, it kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and it crowned all over the top of my head. And I remember Sullivan moving back. He said, I saw the fire coming, Percy. And the Indian woman, Sister Brown, she moved back too, and that fire came down all over my body. And when that fire came down, it was God. God is a consuming fire. Came over me, and I began to speak in other tongues. The Spirit gave utterance and couldn't stop. And the Spirit of God raised me up on my feet. And I walked out into that tent. And Johnny McConnell was ready to preach. And he said, stop, stop, stop. I guess he knew the Spirit. And I walked and put my hands on three people. The first one had been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost for several years. I put my hands on her. She jumped up speaking in tongues. I went to the next one, put my hands on that one, jumped up speaking in tongues. Three of them, I put my hands up. They'd been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost for years. And all three was filled with the Holy Ghost right there. And that was a meeting that night. I remember that. Johnny McConnell could recognize the Spirit of God. And he says, come up here, Percy. And I walked upon the platform, held his arms around me, and the power of God came through above us, and he was shaking, and I was shaking, and the whole place was shaking. That's when God comes on the scene. This is my background, because God is a real God, and he has power. So he baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when you have the fire in your life, you can never be the same. So with that fire and that power, that's power. But we got to learn how to use that fire. We got to learn how to use that. And I was instructed, oh, so wonderful, with my pastor, my first pastor, God bless him, Orville Benham, and his precious wife, many years after, 60 years after or more, came to Gatlinburg all to see me all the way. She was walking around with a walking stick. She came into the meeting, and I hadn't seen her for years. She said, "I came to see you. I heard you was here." That was the wife of this precious first pastor. She was there in Johnny McConnell's meeting. She was there when I received the baptism. She was there when it all happened. We sat at the table in Gatlinburg, and we talked, and tears began to roll down her eyes in Gatlinburg. And as she did, she hugged me and she said, "Oh, I'm so glad that you're on fire and you're going for God." Then we called them on that Saturday night to come to the meeting. And there she was, down under the power, flat on her back under the power, same as the rest. And she said, "This is my life." There was a love and a joy that had been established through all the ages between Sister Branham and me. And she told me, she said, "I want to get together in a great family reunion with all my children." She has several children, Benny Jr., that's in business in California. There, who is a great young man, and there, in fact, he's a millionaire. But we're going to meet again in a family reunion together. Holy Ghost, my children, my grandchildren, Sister Benham's grandchildren, we're all going to meet together in a family reunion in North Carolina someplace. I don't know where it is, but that's being arranged. Meet together. What a time we're going to have. Praise God, the union. Now, God is on this fashion. Him, is making himself ready, the bride, to meet the bridegroom. My grandfather always preached the coming of the Lord. He preached that Jesus was going to come. He did not believe in any way we're going through any tribulation. He believed that Jesus was going to come now and at that day in a few days. That's what he believed. He was always looking for the coming of the Lord. He was always looking for Jesus. He was always looking for the power of the living God. So it all happened. One day, praise God, it happened. Here's what happened. I went to heaven because it happened, praise God. Instead of me waiting for the coming of the Lord, I went to heaven to see Jesus. And I got in heaven to see him. And the purpose of this was to let me know exactly how all the rapture and how all of this was going to take place. The bridegroom has made himself ready. I say the bridegroom has made himself ready. Is the bride ready to meet the bridegroom? That's my question in this tape-making session. Is the bride ready to meet the bridegroom? The preparation is being so made in heaven for the bridegroom to be prepared to meet the bride. Now, in an earthly wedding, the bridegroom will make himself ready to meet his bride wherever it is. That's exactly on that fashion. But it's a greater, greater wedding than any earthly wedding. Now, this whole earth is now on the verge of a great shaking, a great, great explosion, a big explosion that ever happened. You talk about earthquakes in California. You talk about earthquakes. You wait until the great explosion takes place. The whole earth is going to explode with the power and the glory of God. A great explosion. I mean, not an atomic bomb, but an explosion of the Spirit of the living God. Now, in this great explosion, the earth is going to shake and rock and reel under the mighty power of God. Why? Because the bridegroom is ready to meet the bride. The bridegroom is ready. All heaven is preparing to meet the bride. And in heaven, the preparations has taken place. Now, in the banqueting house, I went through the banqueting house, and all through the whole banqueting house was banners hanging. Banners saying love. He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, it's there. It's right there in the Bible. A banner is actually a banner. When you go through and have meetings, you'll see on the street a banner. The president is going to be inaugurated. That's what you call banners. That's banners explaining something's going to happen. So heaven is hanging out the banners. His banner over me was love. And on the city four square is a great banner reaching across 50, 1,300 miles long. I'm telling you some of the secrets of heaven. And on this banner says, "Welcome, my bride. Welcome, my bride." Are you ready to receive that great welcome? And then along under the judgment throne of God is another banner. Welcome the bride into heaven. Then over by the windows of heaven, across the great Kiribashanda, great river, welcome in my bride. Welcome in my bride. And then another sign says, "Your troubles are over. Your time is now. Your troubles are over. No, listen to me, no tribulation for you." If that's right. A great banner says, "No tribulation for my wife. For my wife." So I know this is what's going to happen. And then this great banner over the mansions all the way along. Heaven is being prepared to meet the wife of Jesus. To meet the wife of Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom. And he's prepared to meet his bride. We are the bride. And then God the Father, has a banner in the top of the mountain. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I well please, and the bridegroom of the church." The bridegroom of the church. Heaven is preparing herself ready for a great himself, I mean, preparing himself ready for a great welcome and for the great honeymoon. Here's the way the honeymoon is going to take on this part. It's going to be not just going off someplace, but it's going to be an everlasting honeymoon forever. Be joy unspeakable and full of glory. But what is the wife doing down here? What is the wife if she is preparing herself? I want to ask you to prepare yourself to meet your bride. Take no notice of what people say in prophecy. This is going to happen. That's because it's not going to happen. Only a reality is going to happen is that the wife makes herself ready to meet the bride. Do you have your wedding ring on? Do you have the wedding garment picked out for you, ready to come on you? Do you have and met the qualifications to meet your bridegroom? Are you ready? Have you set your life aside? Have you set your life aside to come into God's heaven? This is what it's all about. Heaven is a planet 80 times larger than the earth, 2 trillion miles from here, that God has fixed for all of us to live forever. Now you tell me what somebody with a doctrine saying that we shouldn't go, that we're going to stay here longer. That's absolutely a false doctrine, because it's not so. And don't listen to false doctrines. Hold fast to true and solid doctrine of the Bible. Hold fast. Don't be drawn about by every wind of doctrine. Don't do that. Some will say, "Here's Christ and there's Christ." Don't believe it. And all kinds of peculiar doctrines are gone out in the world. Some call them foolish doctrine, windy doctrine. They're just put forward by big blowy mouths. Don't take any notice of that. Stand fast on the Word of God. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. It's the Word of God, and it's forever settled in heaven. Believe the Bible, not what some man or some woman has got a funny idea and gone off with it and trying to lure you away from the true gospel, lure you away from God's plan, just lure you away. They are going to be responsible for your soul. The blood will upon their shoulders. That's a fact. And then they believe that there's some people running around doing all kinds of things. I don't want to go into that. It's a solid doctrine. It's a true doctrine. It's the doctrine of the Bible and the Word of God. And I stand fast on true doctrine. Don't move yourself away saying there's only one God and Jesus is his own Father and all that kind of foolishness. That come out of Persia. That come out of the great country of Persia. That is absolutely a Muslim doctrine. And see, every kind of a wind of doctrine has come into the hearts of the people who claim to be Christians, because they're not solid. They're not on the solid rock. When you get on the solid rock, you're not movable. Stand fast on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground will take you away, and you'll land up in nowhere. You'll land up without Jesus. You'll land up on the behind the great resurrection. And when that great explosion takes place, it's going to explode all over the earth, and the earth will shake. And it'll be like a great earthquake, as I've told you. The earth will start to crack open. And out will come the church. Out will come the bride. The bride, ready to sail off to that great planet heaven, what I'm telling you about. I will not in any way try to mislead you. I must do what God tells me to do and stand fast on solid doctrine. Because if you don't, you'll be swayed away and believe in all kinds of funny things and all kinds of foolish things which will get you in trouble. Don't believe anything but the Word of God and Jesus and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Believe the truth, and the truth will set you free. No funny ideas of man will never set you free. You will be bound with the binding of everlasting torment. Please don't do it. I ask you in the name of Jesus to look to God. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because it's real. Thank God I was taught the right way. Don't move away from that which you were taught as solidness of the Bible. So I could go on about these funny doctrines. But I'm not going to give them an opportunity to give them the preeminence, to give them what I mean advertising. But there are some funny ones in this world. Funny ones who are trying, they got funny idea, and they lead you down the path of destruction. But Jesus won't. Jesus came to this earth, and he went to the Calvary, and he went there and shed his blood upon Calvary. He shed his blood for you and for me, that we might have a home in heaven, eternally, forever and ever, always, always heaven. No stopping, no turning back. When you got your hand to the plow, stay with it and plow right on through to get to glory. Let's pray. Father, this day we pray you touch hearts out there and listen to this tape, no matter who they are. Father, ask them to consider the matter. To consider the matter of the rapture. Consider the matter of Jesus coming. Consider the matter. We must consider the matter and be ready to go. Are you ready? Are you ready to leave this world? Are you ready to go through the gates of pearl? Are you ready to spend eternity in heaven? Make yourself ready. The bride has made herself ready. You've got to do something about it. You make yourself ready. Do you hear what I said? Make yourself ready. You can make yourself ready. Yes, right. You can make yourself ready to go. Prepare to go to heaven. Wind up your business. Wind it all up. And say, from now on, I'm going to make myself ready to meet the bridegroom. I'm going to make the bride hath made herself ready. Are you ready? Father, I thank you, Lord. Pray for these precious people, Lord, that's listening to this tape. Listen to this tape. Bless them, Lord. Give them joy and peace through all eternity, forever and ever. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. A shaking of this earth. A great explosion is going to take place on this earth. Be ready for it. In this half an hour, I want to explain to you how the great shaking is going to take place. When the floodgates are open and the power of God comes down upon this earth, it's going to shake this planet. But we'll go back into heaven now and we'll tell you of the great things that God's going to do, because God is real. I've had experience of shaking. I was just talking to Mama this evening at supper time. She was bringing to memory some of the things that happened in our ministry. I've been married, let's see how long, I think about 59 years to the same lady. That's a pretty good record if you ask me. With all the divorces and separations going to take place, somebody's got to stay solid and set an example. God told me to do that. God is so real. Mama's been very faithful to me through the years in the ministry of God. We were in a meeting one time, and God let us see the reality of the dead coming back to life. It was a type of the resurrection. In a tent meeting in West Virginia, there was a great crowd coming They were coming in buses from the mountains and everything, and the highway was blocked, solid blocked. That was before I went to heaven. Great meeting. There were seven ambulances at one time, Canovey, West Virginia, bringing the sick and the afflicted to the meeting. That's a fact. Seven ambulances coming from all directions. They flew them in by airplane. 1950 it happened. I was home on a vacation. God was blessing in such a marvelous way. We had a gigantic tent up that way, seating thousands. And they came from the hills and the mountains and from afar off to attend the service. As these seven ambulances came, they brought a woman dead. The highway patrol was following this ambulance to give them space to get through to the meeting. And those that were coming, the healings would take place, which was a great day. That was a great day of the Lord when all the healings and the miracles was taking place. That was before so many had got into the act. There was very few of us then. All Roberts, myself, and a few of them, but only about four of us really doing that ministry at that time. And it was a great ministry as God was moving in a great measure. In a great, great measure. He was moving in such a great measure that the presence of God was so great. The place was packed, solid packed. People looking on the outside of the tent, a couple of thousand on the outside. Clear to the highway. It was packed to the side of the superhighway. So many people coming and to know and see God working. They brought this lady, was taking her on the way to the morgue. There's a record of this. All you got, is a record of it. In this area there. Huntington, West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, and all of these places. In Ashland, Kentucky, right in that area where it was. The place was full of believers. And this woman, if I remember right, looked to be about, let's say, maybe 40 years old, a thin woman. She died of some disease. I don't remember, doesn't have an idea what it was. But they brought her in, out of the ambulance, and put her in there. Somebody says they're bringing in a dead woman. Someone hollered out, they're bringing in the dead woman. They brought her and laid her on the platform. She was dead. All the breath had gone out of her, and she was dead. Now, I remember the prayer had been intercession of prayer. Been praying that time for at least a week. Praying, seeking God for him to move upon this earth, to take preeminence over the earth. He was. And then it happened. A great shaking took place. I know exactly what a shaking is going to be like. A shaking. And the whole earth was trembling before us and shaking and shaking. Some thought it was an earthquake. It was just God's power caused the ground to shake underneath us. The seats were shaking. Everything was shaking. The lights was weeping back. And it was not an earthquake, but it was the great shaking of God. Tell you, when God does something like that, it's not a normal condition. It has to be God come on the scene to shake things. And it was shaking. It was just the earth was just trembling and shaking underneath us. The highway patrol, West Virginia Highway Patrol, was coming along to help the crowd, and when they said there's a dead woman, he opened his door and left it, come running himself, forgot all about his car and everything. He just left it and the radio going, come running down to see it happen. There he was, standing in full uniform, right there, facing at the end of the platform to see what would happen. The other two highway patrols, they left their doors open, come running. This was the move of God. When the move of God moves, it moves everyone. The law has to move back at this time when God takes control. And, of course, everybody was in expectation what was happening. Some fell on their faces before God praying. I walked over to that cold brow. I remember the icy cold of that woman's brow. Ice cold. The body was dead. Dead. A dead body. I put my warm hands and felt the chill of death. And I said, in the name of Jesus, come forth. That's all I said. And she raised up. Right then. She didn't wait. Raised up. From the dead to the living. And she sat on the side of that ambulance, and everybody screamed and run all over the place. Said, "A dead woman's just been raised. A dead woman's just been raised." And that happened in Canovey, West Virginia, in 1950. So I know exactly. Mom and I was talking about it just this afternoon and telling Annie Hunt about it. Mama remembers all these things. I believe she could write a book of all the great happenings. But I experienced the raising of the dead. Now, I want you to turn your mind to heaven right now. When God causes the whole earth to shake, because there's going to be a great shaking, Jesus told me, he said, "Remember when the dead was raised in the meeting?" Jesus spoke to me in Canova, West Virginia. I said, "Yes, Jesus." I was having a conversation with him, with eternal life. I was having a conversation with life. And he'll bring you life and life more abundantly. And my conversation with Jesus in heaven was about some of the things that happened on this earth. And I said, Jesus said, "Yes, I was there and did it. I didn't do it." I said, "You mean to say, Jesus, you was there and raised up?" "I was there and raised her from the dead. Just exactly as Lazarus raised, I came on the scene to raise that woman from the dead. Nobody did it but Jesus. It was no thing of mine, but Jesus came on the scene. When the tempter's storm is broken, Jesus comes on the scene." Another time, there's a little old black girl. That's right, in Florida, Cocoa, Florida. I want to talk about the raising of the dead a little bit. And this little black girl was laying on the bed, and her stomach swollen. The undertaker said, "They're calling you to come to that house." And I went to that house, and there was another great shaking. The earth shook underneath that black people's home. The undertaker was outside waiting with the ambulance. And black people was all over the place, and a black preacher there. God is no respecter of persons. That little girl was laying on the bed. She wasn't stinking yet, but she'd only been dead for just a few hours. But the faith of those black people, because some of those people had been in the Canovey, West Virginia meeting, and they saw what had happened. They'd been there. Black people up there had been up there and come to Florida, Cocoa, Florida, and seed. So they said, "Call the man of God. Call the man of God." You can call the man of God, and the man of God will respond. Elisha and Elijah there, they called them, and they wouldn't come out of their cabins. Said, "Tell them to go and dip in the River Jordan," because this man was trying to do it on a fashion, because he thought he was somebody. He thought he was somebody special, and he should have a special treatment. I want to tell you, there's no special treatment of this kind with God. Without Jesus coming on the scene, it cannot be done. You cannot do these things yourself. All you do is have the faith to do it. Jesus said, "I was there." A black preacher, myself, laid her hands across that little girl's stomach. We prayed a simple prayer and said, "Come forth in Jesus' name." She sat up and said, I've been gone." And Jesus said, "I was there." Jesus told me, he said, "I was there and did that. I was there and did that." Everything that happened in your meetings upon this earth, spectacularly, that stirred things, Jesus said, "I was there. I was there." When the three Hebrew children was in the fiery furnace and they come out, Jesus said, "I was there." When my grandfather, Jesus, when my grandfather went to be heaven, he said, "I was there." Many times. And he told me, we talked there for a long time, and Jesus said, "I was there. I was there." Is Jesus in your home with you? And you can say that he was there? Jesus can be everywhere. Everywhere. In the jungles, the devil came through, and I commanded the devil to lay down in Jesus' name. Jesus and I talked all over my ministry. We talked it over together. And Jesus said, "I was there." And he began to tell me, he began to remind me of my whole ministry. Remind me of it. And we was talking over my ministry, which Jesus told me to do. And every time, Jesus said, "I was there. I was there." Do you want Jesus to be in your home to say to you, I was there? I've seen God move in the meetings in a great way. We were talking over a meeting we had in Bakersfield, California, years ago. Jesus said, I was there. When I walked through the jungles and the leopard was ready to attack me and Jesus talked, he said, I was there. We're talking to one time when I was almost put to death and it didn't happen. See, Jesus said, I was there. I was there. I was there, Percy. I was there. It was me that did it, not you. I just heard your prayer and I was there to do it. It's not us that does it. It is Jesus. Jesus does it. Can Jesus say to you, I was there? And it was wonderful to talk it over with Jesus and say to me, Percy, I was there. I was there. I was there with you. We're in this studio, I'd call it a studio, all in blue. Jesus is here with us because he'll tell me when I get back to heaven, I was there. Many times he was with me and he can say to me, I was there. I was there. Can Jesus say to you, I was there? You can bring him into your home. He'll come and explain me what was going to happen. The bridegroom has made himself ready. There's going to be a great shaking of this earth. There's going to be such a shaking. As the earth shook every time the dead was raised when it was in it, the earth trembled and the earth shook at the presence of God moving upon this earth. And that Canobie, West Virginia, it shook the platform. Is your home going to get shook one of these days? When it shakes, it's going to knock all those trinkets off the wall, Jesus told me. Because they'd not be able to stand on that wall. Lay up your treasure in heaven where neither moth can and rust can corrupt. The treasure you lay up in heaven will last through all of eternity. Now we go into heaven. And inside of heaven, the banners are being put up for the great welcome of the church. And when this shaking takes place upon the earth, it's going to shake every nation under heaven. Every piece of land upon this earth is going to shake. It's going to shake not only just one place where the dead is going to be raised, but the earth is going to shake before the resurrection. At least, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Only God knows. Because only God knows when the shaking is going to take place. Only God knows when it's going to happen. During that time of the shaking is going to take place because there's going to be a great wedding. And the advertising is going to be on this fashion. The earth is going to shake. Are you ready for the great explosion, the great shaking? When God lets loose the river from heaven, he explained to me, I stood alongside of the river in heaven, pouring down upon this earth. And every part of this world is going to shake. Shake under the power of God. And in heaven, this is what happened. God has the power in his hands. God has the power in heaven. And the power of God in heaven is ready to turn on the shaking. And God, Jesus, showed me the shaking department. You might call it a switch, but it's not a switch. It is the hand of God. I was on the left hand of God and under the hand of God and the feathers, but Jesus showed me the power of his right hand. If you ever saw the power of the right hand of God, you could never be the same. Never. And the floodgates are right at the bottom of the river, and top of the river, is where God will cause it to go. His right hand, his foot, will touch the floodgates, but his right hand will cause it to happen. The right hand of authority. Jesus said, the right hand of my Father is where all the power is. So Jesus, let me see the right hand of God. If you ever saw the right hand of God and the power in the right hand of God, the Bible says, he stretched forth his hand. He stretched forth his hand. And I saw God's right hand stretch forth. Jesus let me see his right hand stretch forth. He's done it several times. since he's been on his throne in heaven. He's God. He's a great God, a God of Almighty, El Shaddai. He's the God, Jehovah. He's the God, the great I Am, creator of all things. He is the one that's going to cause the shaking. When he caused the earth to shake through Jesus, Jesus said, I was there. I was there. But at the shaking, Jesus is going to be here. He's coming for his people. Jesus will be here. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming to take away his bride. And the whole earth is going to shake. And I saw God turn on the shaking. As we were there, Jesus and I was talking. And all of us was watching and talking in heaven. I'm taking you into heaven now. And God put forth his right hand. And that river, we watched it begin to ripple. It began to move up and down. It began to shake. That river began to shake under the power of God. Jesus, let me see the shaking hand of God. And I know what's going to happen. He's going to take that right hand of authority. That's the hand of authority. That left hand is the hand of love. He's going to take that big right hand of his, a hand of power. The Jesus sits at his right hand. And Jesus can be on the throne at one time. And Jesus said, I was there. Jesus can be everywhere, all over the world, because his spirit is allowed to go. His power is his mighty. Vision of his body is allowed to go everywhere. That's one of the great miraculous realities of heaven. How can Jesus sit on the throne and he can come in your room and walk? Because God is a spirit and Jesus is a spirit also. But he also has a body sitting at the right hand of authority and the right hand of God the Father. So then he's given all power into his hands, in the hands of Jesus. And Jesus is going to be here. Are you ready for Jesus to be here? When he turns on that right hand of authority, the whole earth is going to shake all over. It's going to tremble and shake for days before the resurrection. Still, there's those not going to believe it. There's those that will turn their heads and say no. Because it's going to be a day of great shaking and a grave explosion. When he gives that right hand of order and that right hand of authority, and I saw the power of the right hand of God. If you ever saw the power of the right hand of God, you'd be different. God, let me go to heaven to see this real, real reality. I always believed it in a sense, not to the fullness. But to believe it in the fullness, to believe it in the reality, that God's going to cause the earth to shake. You better be ready. So then Jesus said, watch. So I watch and I look. And Jesus' right hand went up and the bells began to shake right up above. It was all shaking. If he was shaking the heavens, the Bible says, and the four square church, the four square began to shake, but didn't fall down. The temple began to shake. His own throne under him began to shake. Everything in heaven began to tremble and shake. Now if he can cause heaven to shake, if he can cause heaven to tremble, what can he do with this little old earth? God, omnipotent, God Almighty. I'm in heaven with you now. And there was the temple and the banquet house. All the mansions begin to tremble and shake at the power of God. I saw it as it began to shake. Jesus said, that's my Father's authority. That's my Father doing that. But Jesus is going to be here. At the time that happens, God's going to give forth the word. And he's going to say, go, Jesus. Go, my son. Go. It's going to be the orders of God when it's finished, when the last diamond's put in place. And the last thing happens, God's going to give the order with his right hand. He's going to cause the shaking. And then he's going to say, go, my son, and get thy bride. All heaven's going to shake. The window's going to shake. Imagine heaven shaking, the very place that God prepared for us. And that shaking is going to come out of heaven, clear down on this earth, and this earth, oh, this little earth, according to the greatness of heaven, this little earth. And then these politicians and all these people think they're really somebody. They'll find out when that shaking takes place that they are nothing. Just nothing. Just plain nothing. Just a little pimple upon this earth. Nothing. They think they're so big, but they're nothing. That's what Jesus told me. Nothing. But there's those that are somebody. That's his bride. They are something. They are something. Because they're his bride. They're something. And the bride has made herself ready. When God gives that shaking as I saw it in heaven, and the river opens wide, and this earth is going to shake, tremble, rock and reel, going to look like it's going out of axes, and you'll be in your room and you'll go flopping over against the wall. You'll try to go to work in that morning, your car will swerve off the road. You wonder what in the world's happened, saying, what's happened to this whole world? The bride has made herself ready. There's going to be a great explosion. And I saw the explosion as well as the shaking. The explosion. We were looking out of heaven on the great explosion, watching. And Jesus said something in a moment, my Father's going to show what the explosion is. I'm talking about fire. I'm talking about power. Now remember, we're in heaven. We're in heaven. Stand at the windows. And Jesus said, watch. And the whole universe, listen, the whole universe exploded with fire. God is, oh, universe exploded. We watched it as the whole universe exploded with fire. You think God is just a little God? Exploded, I saw the whole universe explode with fire. God is a consuming fire. And God then at that time consumed everything in front of it. But yet when it went off, there it was. And this is what's going to happen. That explosion is going to take place upon this earth. He's going to explode this earth wide open. When that explosion takes place, God with his hand is going to cause the earth to explode. And I mean explosion. And that explosion is going to be like a great flashing blast. It'll go into the White House doors. It'll go into every congressman's home. It'll go into every politician's home. Even every bug upon this earth will die at the great, 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 great anything contrary to God. Jesus said every fly will die. Every ant will die. Every creeping thing will die right there. They'll die because God's going to have a clean resurrection. Everything will die. And all the devils upon this earth will die. The devil won't have a chance. Because they will die because there will be a great passageway open up from this earth to heaven. Explain to me. For the church to go through. No power will stand in way. Nothing will hinder. There will be no prince of Persia to stop it when that great explosion takes place and the great flash of fire. Are you ready? Boy, something's going to happen to you. You better be ready. I saw the great explosion. I saw the fire. I saw the hand of God move. And Jesus is going to be here. Jesus is going to be here to take his bride home. To pick up his bride and take us on that journey home. Isn't it foolish to think about something going to happen here when that great explosion takes place? The judge will be shook off their benches. And whoever's present, the United States, will go whirling clear across the room. And rolling upside down. And congressmen will go falling on their face. There'll be nothing. Stand before the throne of God. And every person upon this earth will flop to their knees. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord. They'll start to confess, my, he's Lord. My, it's real, isn't it? They're going to have to make a confession. God's going to make a confession. There is a true God. But it'll be too late for some. Be too late for some. Because it'll be too late. Friends, let's pray. Father, O God, make the bride get ready. Make the bride get ready to meet Jesus. Make the bride get ready, Father. O God, touch that woman in the hospital. Repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I want to be in the rapture to meet you. I'm going to change my life completely. I'm going to prepare myself to be ready. I'm going to prepare myself to go to heaven. I'm going to make myself ready. In Jesus' name. He will if you do it. If you make yourself ready, you'll be ready to go. God loves you. I love you. May God bless you is my prayer.